Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the season salvageable? Oh boy, who had that after week 7? They are 3-4. They've lost two straight games. They lost to the Bears on Monday night 25-24. Remember how good we felt after Jaden was back and they pummeled the Chargers 27-10? That seems like 2 months ago now. Two games in 6 days produced two ugly losses. The Bears game because of three turnovers, three hideous turnovers, and a defense that looked even worse than we thought it might be. And then it all came together in a bad way on Sunday when the defense looked like maybe the worst in the NFL. And it took on more injuries, maybe their best defensive player, Dorrance Armstrong, out for the year. And they got absolutely, housed by the Cowboys 44-22. So they are at 3-4. And I think part of, what people has people down, and I predicted this on Friday, if they lost to the Cowboys, everybody's going to look at it and say, well, 3-4 is going to become 3-5 because it's the Chiefs. And then it's like, oh my God, Seattle, Detroit come into town. Yeah, they're home games, but two really good teams. Then you get the Dolphins in disarray in Madrid, and then you come home for a Sunday night or Thanksgiving weekend against the Broncos. This is the most brutal stretch of schedule of the season. At Cowboys, at Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, but in Madrid, and then Broncos on Sunday night. So I know that there are people out there that are bailing, that you guys think this season, chalk it up to, year two and some bad luck. Last year they had all the luck. They were injury free for the most part. They overcame, whatever it is they had in their way. This year injuries, the bugs bit them, and they got a bad defense again, and they didn't, do enough in the offseason, all that stuff. I want to know if you think it's salvageable, though. And again, my definition of salvageable for the purposes of this segment is it's a season that they either end up making the playoffs or, worst case, they go to Philadelphia in early January for the season finale, needing a win to make the playoffs. So they're in the hunt until the very final week of the season where they've got a chance to make it. 301-230-0980. I'll answer it first, and then I'll let Max answer it. Of course it's salvageable. Of course they could be in the mix at the end of the year for a playoff berth. 100% it's salvageable. It's week 7. They've taken on a ton of injuries, and they didn't have a roster capable of dealing with a lot of those injuries. Look, some of them you can't do anything about. They're done for the year, especially on defense. That's my biggest concern. I said coming out of the Chicago game, I have one big, big concern that is season-long, that the defense, which many of you believe to have been shut down great after wins over the Giants and the Raiders, and a decent performance against, an absolute decimated Chargers offensive line, I was like, this defense might not only be bad, it might be worse than last year's. And that's saying something. And they needed it to be better this year. Didn't need to be great, needed to be better. Because we knew there was a good chance, based on the way the schedule laid out, that they were going to be playing much better teams. That they weren't going to be playing Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener and Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson and Andy Dalton and Tommy DeVito or whatever. I don't have the whole list. Kyler Murray. You know, they weren't going to be playing those guys. They were going to be playing, you know, Dak Prescott, followed by Patrick Mahomes, followed by Sam Darnold and what he's doing in Seattle, and Jared Goff, and, you know, Jalen Hurts twice, along with Dak Prescott in the final 3 weeks of the season. But yes, NFL seasons with teams that have the ability at the quarterback position like this team does are salvageable. Now, you might look at it and say, they're just the Cowboys, but without the weapons. And you wouldn't say the Cowboys are going to be a playoff team. I don't know if they are or aren't. I mean, they're really good on offense. And Washington is not where Dallas is offensively. We don't have CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. We don't have that offensive line right now. We don't even have the tight end. But yes, it's salvageable. It's salvageable because, you know, look, if five is hurt and it's going to be in and out of the lineup, it's not salvageable. Okay, it's not salvageable with Marcus Mariota starting, you know, let's just say out of the final 10 games, starting five of them. That's not a salvageable season, and I love Marcus Mariota. I feel like I have to give that disclaimer. I really like him as our backup quarterback. But it's salvageable if Jaden gets healthy and gets back for the Seattle game, and you got 9 games left as a 3-5 football team with the next 4 not including a road game. Seattle at home, Detroit at home, Miami and Madrid, Denver at home. That's the stretch. You got to win 3 out of the next 5. If you lose Monday night, that's 3 out of those next 4 to get to 6-6 entering December. And if you can do that, it's more than salvageable. Now, I think the NFC is a problem. I've talked about that all year long. I don't think anything worse than 10-7 can get a wild card berth. And, you know, last year, 1-10-7 team, Seattle didn't make the wild card. 11-6 was the worst wild card record last year. Let's not forget that. Green Bay was 11-6 and the 7 seed. Washington was 12-5 and the 6 seed. Minnesota was 13-4 and the 5 seed. You know, so it in this year, you got 3-5-2 teams in the NFC West. You don't have one team in the NFC North that has a losing record. So wild card, you're going to have to minimum get to 10. 6-6 in December has them in the division race with still 2 left against Philadelphia and a game against the Cowboys and a game against the Giants. Yes, it's salvageable. I wouldn't bet against this particular group. I think they are, you know, led by a badass competitor, and I think they've built the culture that way. It's a rough stretch right now, hard to overcome all of these losses, and a rough schedule ahead. But yes, it's salvageable. Am I predicting it? No. But there's no way through 7 games with what they have, maybe coming back on offense, I don't see this as being season over. I think they could easily go to Philadelphia on January 5th or whatever it is with a chance to win and either win the division or somehow snag a wild card spot at 10-7. Remember, the second Dallas game is at home. In December, if they can get to December 6-6 at Minnesota, who knows where the Vikings will be at that point. At Giants, then the Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles. And you'd have to win, you know, 4 of those final 5 to get to 10 and probably have a shot. Not discounting that as a possibility at all. Salvageable. Max, salvageable, yes or no?
I'm a lot less confident than you are. Now, of course, anything can happen. Jaden Daniels is on our team as long as he is healthy. Yes, anything is possible. But when you look at this defense and you look at these next 3 opponents, the Chiefs offense finding their stride, Seattle's offense has looked good all year. JSN's going to light our secondary on fire. He might go up for 200 yards.
He might have a 200-yard day.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. So I've prepared myself for those next 2 weeks. And then you got the Lions coming in, and they are coming in with a vengeance because and a chip on their shoulder because of what happened in the divisional round. So you really could be staring down the barrel of 3-7 going to Madrid to take on the Dolphins. Now, that would make that game an absolute must win. But that, again, as you said, 6-6 going into December, that would put that out of reach. So you got to win one of these next three. I just don't know which one of those it will be because a lot of these defensive issues, it doesn't look fixable with what the injuries are. Like you said prior in the show, like there's no edge-containing defensive ends on this team anymore. Dietrich Wise down, Dorrance Armstrong gone. So I don't think it's as fixable as we like to think it might be. But so at this point, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to kind of start to look at selling some things in the deadline just to kind of build the picks back up with what you lost, giving it up for Lattimore and Debo. But I'm really not that sure with how it's going to go. I don't think it's the salvageable.
3-7 would be a pretty difficult, you know, thing to get out of,
horrible
for sure.
To climb
so
out of.
You're right. Like the only hesitance I have is just, well, if Jaden Daniels doesn't play, the season's over. We move on to next year.
Correct.
Like if he's going to be in and out of the lineup with 10 games left, if he plays six of them and sits for four of them, forget it. Season pretty much done. But if he's back, then the concern really is, I don't see a fix to the defense. Like I don't see like us saying in 3 weeks from now, wow, that turned around defensively. No more coverage busts. The pass rush is getting home. They're stopping the run. I don't see that as a real likely.
It would be,
I don't even see that as that's actually off the board at this point.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle. Like Hail Mary type miracle.
But we know in the NFL, you can overcome that, you know, another seven times out of your final 10 games if you have to get to 10 with great offense. We'll see if it happens. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Is the season salvageable? Again, my definition for the purposes of this call segment is they make the playoffs or at the very least, worst case, they go into the season finale needing a win in Philadelphia to make the playoffs. All right, so they're in it until the final week of the season. James in Virginia, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, brother. Happy Tuesday, Kevin.
What's up, James?
Commanders, man. Big time, all the time, every time. And I just want to say real quick, man, I've been picking up on your podcast, and then I love hearing you talk about Washington, man, Tommy, and the guy doing the film breakdown. It was some great times, man, so I really enjoy that. But going forward, man, that's exactly why I was calling you today, Kevin, man. Just trying to look forward ahead to the season, right? And if we say, just for argument's sake, that they lose to Kansas City Monday night, cause it's going to be a tough ask. They got to go 7-2 the rest of the way to get to 10-7. And the only way that's going to happen, man, is if Debo and McCorn come back and stay healthy. I think the offensive line with the addition back of Cosme can really do something for them. But offensively, man, they, like you said, they got to become that juggernaut. And then defensively, man, I really like the idea of putting Payne on the outside because he is a tough run stuffer. And he can obviously got some quickness with his size, man. For me, though, I'd like to see him play more quarters and maybe with Wagner, man, put him as more of a spy rather than a coverage. Kind of let him just sit there and watch the quarterback's eyes, man. Every time the Burgundy and Gold come on the field, I love it. And I can't wait for week 9 when we see the uniforms, man, and see what they look like. So, hey, man, I love everything, Kevin. Keep rolling, man.
Thanks, James. Appreciate that. You know, if they lose to the Chiefs, it would be 7 out of the last 9. They'd have to go 7-2 over the last 9 to get to 10. They started the season last year 7-2. They have to be healthy on offense, obviously. You know, for them to make a run, if they were to lose Monday night, they've got to be healthy on offense. And that means everybody. They do have a decent offensive line. They do have, you know, two receivers. You need one of them at the very least on the field. But it would be tough, but I think it absolutely is doable, which means I believe the season is salvageable. Do you, Ralphie in Rockville, go ahead.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kevin. I don't think the season is salvageable. I think that when I watch the defense, to me, I know a lot of people want to say Joe Witt, but I think that what's going on after hearing Dan Quinn talk, I think that they're running Dan Quinn's philosophy of the defense. I think what you're seeing now, because I watched a lot of the Cowboys when Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator because I lived in Texas, and I'm seeing that is the same philosophy. Cover three, show blitz, but don't really blitz. But the thing with Dallas, they got a lot of turnovers, and we're not getting those turnovers. But there was a lot of coverage breakdowns in Dallas when Dan Quinn was coordinator. So that's why I think that every time they ask him a question about, you know, alluding to, you know, possibly moving on from Joe Witt or giving up play call duties from Joe Witt, he doesn't really want to respond to that. Or is it really?
Well, he hasn't been asked that directly, just so you know.
Well, yeah, well, when he said this, we're going to look at everything, you know, to me, it's kind of like, okay, well, that's why I think he does that. That's why I think it would be a terrible idea for him to get rid of Joe Witt, because then if the defense is still struggling, people are going to say, oh, that was the thing all along. It was Dan Quinn's philosophy, and the defense was this is what it is. So I don't think that it solves it from that standpoint. Even if we get Terry and Debo back healthy, I just think that with the injuries that they have, it just they're bound to get injured again. Soft tissue injury.
All right. Thanks, Ralphie. Your phone's clicking a little bit there, but I get it. And I'm expecting, you know, 70-30 season not salvageable. That's what I'm expecting. It's the NFL. I can't count out a 3-4 football team with Jaden Daniels, a quarterback. They've got to be healthy, though, on offense. And if they're not, this season is going to go south and pretty quickly. Steve in Silver Spring, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm well, Steve. Thanks.
Good. I'm not as optimistic as you, Kevin. I looked at that schedule. And I love your show because you bring up every aspect of everything, including last year, and that's what people forget. What we faced at quarterback, the luck we had versus the schedule that we have this year and the quarterbacks that we face this year. We're an old football team, Kevin, and it shows weekly. And we do not have a better roster than the Giants. We do not have a better roster than Philadelphia, and we do not have a better roster than Dallas. And I think we, you know, people calling for Adam Peters' head and all that. Give that man an opportunity to build a football team.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of the silliest talk I've heard. Dude's been here for 19 months, and in the first year they won 14 games and were 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. Are you kidding people with the Adam Peters talk? Stop.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Give the man some time to build a football team.
The cupboard was bare when he got here.
Yes. Yes. And give him some time to build a team. And, you know, sure, we brought in Lattimore and Bobby Wagner on some one-year deals, brought him back again this year.
Wagner was a big part of why they won 14 games last year.
Oh, he's a tackling machine.
Yeah, but he, you know, he get exposed in the coverage. It's absolutely he does. In year 13 or 14, obviously he can't do what he used to do 10 years ago with the Legend of Boom. Everybody ages. But give him some time, you know. But at the same time, this schedule here, from what we're looking at defensively, oh, God, you think Dallas lit us up. You know, come Kansas City are getting their guy back Monday. Oh, they seem on a roll.
You know,
Seattle is just treading water. They can run and slow it.
Right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, as always. Look, I have not spent a lot of time, for those of you that listen a lot, emphasizing how old the roster is. Because really, the roster, you know, yes, you know, overall average age, oldest in the league. You know, you got Josh Johnson at 39, you got Tressaway at 35, you got a long snapper that's old, etc. But the oldness of this team, really what we're talking about is Bobby Wagner, right? Because the bigger contributors on this team, are they're young players. You know, Jaden Daniels, obviously. The running back situation is young. The offensive line situation, you know, is with, you know, Chris Paul's 26, right? Tyler Biadasz is 26 or 27. Cosme's in his mid-20s. Tunsil, you know, is a little bit older. Tunsil's been great, though, so far. Tunsil's been outstanding. And then they got a rookie, you know, at the other side. Ertz, yeah, Ertz is older. He's 34. Tight ends do play, you know, into their mid-30s. We've seen that a lot in the NFL. Could they have gotten younger there? Could Sinnott, you know, be a guy that, you know, could have produced more at this point? Okay. I actually think he's blocked well when he's been in there. Payne's still 28 years old. Kinlaw's still 28 years old. Von Miller's old. Bobby Wagner's old. Zach Ertz is old. I haven't emphasized it because still much of their roster isn't. But the average is, because you got Josh Johnson's 39, 40-year-old body out there. You know, you got Tressaway, who's 35, 36. But you got Wagner and Miller, you know, and Ertz. But it's not, you know, their second oldest player on the team, I think, is the guy Nick Ballore, the special teamer. Do you want to take him off the team? My God, he is an absolute demon special teams player. I don't know. To the caller that said I'm optimistic, let me make sure I'm clear on something. Me saying the season is salvageable and being very, very demonstrative about that, yes, it's salvageable. I absolutely think the season through seven games is far from over. But optimistic is not probably the way to describe how I feel. I'm not cheery. I'm not, you know, this is going to happen. I'm just like, we're far from the moment in which we bury them. You know, I think that would happen with losses to the Chiefs, ugly losses to the Chiefs and Seahawks, and more injuries and quarterback question marks from a health standpoint. Give me 2 weeks and I might say it's now no longer salvageable. But at this point, I'm not ready to say that. But don't confuse that with optimism. Because I'm not optimistic right now. Anthony, thanks for holding as always. Go ahead.
So, yes, Kevin, it is salvageable. And this is how it has to happen. A lot of people will look at Detroit. They'll look at Kansas City. And they'll look at, there was a third.
Seattle.
Team pull right now. Not Seattle.
Denver, two against Philly.
No, a team that's been injured.
San Francisco.
What I'm saying is, yeah, Frisco. So they'll look at those teams and say, well, damn, they managed to stay above water. Well, how did they do it? The reason they're able to do it is because they have a defense.
That's true.
And Detroit has Hutchinson. KC has 95.
Well, Warner and Bosa are done.
Right.
But they've been playing good defense still.
Exactly. And again, KC has number 95, and they play
Chris
excellent
Jones.
Defense.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, yes. So the way we have to do it, in my humble opinion, we have to be blitzing, getting off the bus. If we, this is not a good number, but hypothetically, if we have 60 plays on defense, 40 to 45 of those plays, we have to be blitzing and be aggressive. I don't care if it's a run. I don't care if it's a pass. We're already getting the doors blown off of us playing laid-back zone defense. I believe that we should line up every play like we're going to blitz.
Yeah.
And then back out on the plays that you don't want to blitz. But the only way we are going to be able to hang in there is if the defense gets aggressive. Yeah, they're going to give up plays, but they're already giving up plays. You saw how Detroit was in Baker's face all night.
Yeah.
That's the kind of effort.
We don't have Aiden Hutchinson.
No, we don't have Aiden Hutchinson, but
yeah,
we need to be blitzing 6 and 7 people.
Yeah.
If we're going to get beat, let's get beat going forward.
Anthony, I love this because I do think it's less painful to watch the aggressiveness get beat versus the lack of it get beat. I agree with you. With that said, on Sunday at the end of the half, they should have been in something much more prevent oriented, and they weren't. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't mind that. You know, it's not like we've got great blitzers either. I mean, Wagner might be our best blitzer. So, you know, people want him off the field. So I think the best defense, without question, has to be the offense, period. It was last year,
right.
And that's how you salvage this season. Somehow, by the way, the turnover takeaway thing starts to happen for you because sometimes there's a random nature to that.
But right now, we can't rely on the offense because of our receiver situation.
Yeah,
that's why
and
we
the
need
quarterback
to be
situation,
aggressive
which,
on,
yeah, is in and out of the
right,
lineup.
So,
all right.
So that's
I got to go. I got to get to a break. I see everybody on hold. Stay there. We'll keep taking calls. The question is the season salvageable? We got a long way to go. I say it is. Salvageable by definition for this segment means make the playoffs or at the very least go to the final week of the season with a chance to make the playoffs. This last segment was brought to you by Paramount. Football talk on the Team 980, presented by Paramount Plus, as always. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.